For months now, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has appeared to be MIA. Secretary Rice used to be the president's shadow, but then "Where's Condi?" became the whisper. Was she on the outs with Cheney? Was she on the way out of the administration to pursue academia? No, she was likely on a plane, shuttling back and forth and back again, an estimated 100,000 miles, trying to get all the players in the Mideast conflict to come together, even for one day, to discuss dusting off that roadmap to peace. Well, she got the one day in Annapolis, Maryland, where the major players gathered and agreed to agree by next year.
I want to applaud those attendees at today's conference who shared their views seriously and soberly, not always agreeing, but seeking to build understanding through discussion and dialogue.
Secretary Rice may also have gotten something personal out of this, a new dimension to her legacy as part of the Bush administration. Yes, biographers will write about mushroom cloud comments about terrorists and a devout loyalty to the current president, but the next 14 months could prove defining for her as well. Marcus Mabry has written a biography about Condoleezza Rice called Twice as Good, Condoleezza Rice and Her Path to Power. Good day, Marcus.
Good morning, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing just great. The Middle East Peace Conference yesterday, Secretary Rice, not necessarily front and center for all the photo ops, you know, but she did host meetings previous to yesterday's event. She had a meeting on Monday, I think. She was on the periphery. Is that the way that she works behind the doors, out of the limelight?
That is the way she's worked for most of this administration. You know, yesterday was really a kind of feather in the cap of Condoleezza Rice. We don't know where yesterday will lead to. We only have the Israelis and the Palestinians agreeing to try to agree, not even saying they will definitely agree, but say they will try to agree to a comprehensive peace by the end of 2008, by the end of George W. Bush's term as president. Now, that's all Condoleezza Rice is doing. This is a president, number one, don't forget, who for most of the last 7 years has not wanted to put the United States or his presidency in the middle of Middle Eastern negotiations, and he has gone out of his way to make sure he didn't do that. He thought it was a failure of the Clinton administration to have done so. Condoleezza Rice convinced this president to take this chance to bring these players together, and she will spend the rest of this presidency trying to be the person who actually will be the mediator between Israelis and Palestinians. She will be the one calling the shots and saying who is making progress towards peace and who has more to do. That will all be Condoleezza Rice. This is her legacy. She told me in one of our interviews for Twice as Good, she told me that the reason that she stayed for the second term of George W. Bush was that she felt that they had thrown the Middle East up into upheaval. There had been obviously 9/11, and then we had launched the war in Iraq and had removed Saddam Hussein. She told me she was planning to go back to Stanford after that first term, but she stayed because the president asked her to, and she decided that maybe she could help to lay the foundations for a truly democratic Middle East because she felt that they had not finish that business. This is all she's about for the next 14 months.
So that sounds like it was one of her personal and professional goals. Did she tell you of any others she has?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because one of the great ironies of Condi Rice and one of the big surprises I had in looking at her life story for, you know, 2.5 years was the fact that this is a woman who actually, although she's accomplished, you know, a phenomenal amount, she is the most powerful African-American woman in 230 years of American government. She's had all kinds of other historic firsts that she's been a part of. The irony to me was that she actually, since she failed at her first goal, which was to be a concert pianist at the age of 17, she realized she was not good enough to do that. Since she failed at that first goal, she has never set any of these later accomplishments as a personal goal. She just did whatever job was at hand. She worked at it mightily and with great discipline, some would say with far too much discipline, and with blinders on to everything outside of her goals. But that's all she did. She didn't worry about what came after.
That's interesting that you should say that, because there was one quote in your book that really caught my eye on page 78. It's from Condoleezza Rice. She says, "If I could wish one thing and do it over, the thing I would do, in spite of all the expectations of me, and in spite of all the duties and responsibilities, would be to take a little bit more time enjoying fulfilling them." Does she like the work she does, or does she feel a certain responsibility to do the work she does?
That's a terrific question, Allison. You know, I really do think it's the latter. I really don't think Condoleezza Rice, I think from the way her parents raised her from segregated Birmingham and gave her the sense of mission and the sense of possibilities, telling her that even though you're growing up in, you know, this situation in Jim Crow Alabama, you can be anything you want to be. I think it also infused her with a responsibility to try to be the very best she could be. That's why I use that phrase, twice as good. They told her in her neighborhood in Birmingham that as a little black girl, she had to be twice as good to get half the credit and three times as good to be considered equal with a white person. And this kind of determination, I think, is at the core of Condoleezza Rice. It's a lot about duty and responsibility, not so much about having fun, and it never has been. Even since she was a little girl playing on the piano from the time she was two, she has been one of phenomenal discipline and not a lot of, as she told me, introspection. She doesn't really worry about, you know, how is she doing? Has she made mistakes? She really doesn't think about that until, you know, far into the future, because right now all she's concentrating on is the job at hand. This is going to be the toughest job she's ever had to do. There is no guarantee, of course, that the Israelis and the Palestinians will have a comprehensive peace a year from now, and the odds would have to be against it, given the fact that they haven't had, you know, been able to make this progress for the last six decades. And so it's going to be interesting to see how she applies herself, but I think what we're going to see is this kind of steely determination that Rice has always had in going at this task. And the other thing, and this goes back to another speech she gave, like the one you cited there from the book, in Stanford some years ago. The other thing I think we have to keep in mind is while everyone will be judging her completely at every step of the way, Rice herself once told another class at Stanford, like she said in that earlier speech you cited, that she remembers her graduating class and Archibald Cox, the Watergate prosecutor,
sure,
had come to speak to the University of Denver where Rice was graduating. And he had talked about how the class needed to change the world. The world was in great upheaval. Nixon had just been driven out. And he tossed down to each of those graduates the goal that, you know, they had to go out and do something to make the world different. Rice told the Stanford class she spoke to some 10 years later, what I realized was you don't have to change the world, so don't think you have to. All you have to do is work your hardest to change a little bit of it, to make a little bit of it better, and you know what? And that's all you can do. And then you move from the scene and you don't worry about it. That is going to be her motive, I think, you know, deep down inside, and she won't be talking about it, but Condi Rice, 14 months from now, will move on, will return to Stanford, at least temporarily. We don't know if she'll have later political career, but the fact is she is not going to sweat it. She has one of her mottos is move on, get over it. That's what she's going to do when she's done with this presidency.
Marcus Berry, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
It's a yes or no question. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Is legacy important to Condoleezza Rice?
Ooh, that's hard. Yes, but it's more, her presidency legacy is more important than her own to her. She has that kind of loyalty to George W. Bush still.
Marcus Ray Mabry has written a new biography about Condoleezza Rice called Twice as Good, Condoleezza Rice and Her Path to Power. Thanks for sharing your reporting, Marcus.
Thanks for having me.